Canucks win. Canucks win. Make it, what is that, three in a row? Three in a row for the Vancouver Canucks, taking down the San Jose Sharks in games that might be meaningless. You know, it really is looking that way, that these games are meaningless, but the Canucks battle. They increase those odds just a little bit, about 4.5%. They're still alive, but barely. But hey, we can enjoy a nice little win for the Vancouver Canucks, taking down the Sharks. Great game from Demko. Great game all around. Honestly, a fun hockey game. Lots of shots. I think there was like 75 shots taken in this game, which is always fun to see. We'll break this game down. We will go over my thoughts, then your thoughts. You guys know the whole deal. Pluses, minuses, game pucks, all the above. Let's get to it. For the Vancouver Canucks, it is Thatcher Demko. For the Sharks, it is Kokkonen. I forgot Kokkonen even played for the Sharks. My thought was, oh, he plays for the Wild still. But he has not been doing well in San Jose because San Jose doesn't have a very good defense. So we go to the first period. Starts pretty disjointed. A few big chances for the Canucks. And then a bit of a controversial play. Kyle Burrow sort of runs Merkley into the wall. Kind of a bit high, maybe a little late. They clocked it at 0.68 seconds on the Sportsnet broadcast. So technically not illegal. Little high, though. I could have seen that be called a penalty. Canucks go the other way. Jason Dickinson coming back into the lineup and making a nice little move on a two-on-one, pulling it around the defenseman, tucking it in behind the goalie. Canucks up 1-0 just 2 minutes in, and the Canucks getting some penalty trouble. Pretty weak call on Podkolzin, and then a slash by JT Miller, so it's a 5-on-3, and Tomas Hertl scores for the Sharks to make it 1-1. Pretty good kills overall, though. I mean, they score the one goal on the two chances, but the Canucks had like three good shorthanded chances on these kills, but they can't capitalize. Lots of special teams for the remainder of this period. How many penalties were there in the first period? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 penalties taken in the first period. Two of those were fights, but six like minor penalties in the first period. So lots of special teams time to go around. We go to the second period, and the Canucks capitalize again early in the period, just 5 minutes in. Connor Garland coming in on the rush has not scored in 19 games. He looks for the pass. He does a full like hip pivot to really show that he's going past. Kokkonen cheats on it, goes a little bit over to the side. Garland tucks it in. Nice shot, wide open short side inside the post, and it's 2-1. Second period, pretty eventful. Again, lots of shots being had. 14 shots for Vancouver, 13 for San Jose, and late with 1.5 minutes to go, it is Nick Bonino, former Vancouver Canuck. Shot from the point by Burns. Bonino just tips it. Demko never saw it coming through, so it is 2-2 going into the third period. Early in the period, Canucks come in on the rush, and Chiasson with such a good chance just can't capitalize in the slot, but the puck gets bouncing. It ends up right back on the stick of Chiasson, and he fires a shot short side, only about 3 feet in the air. Could have been saved, but it goes off the post, sneaks into the net, and it's 3-2 Vancouver, and the Canucks are just going to try to hold on to this lead. They have 18 minutes to just survive, and they nurse the lead all period. A pretty even period once again. Tyler Myers gets inches away from an empty net when they pull the goalie with about 2 to play. The Sharks are pressing late, though. The Canucks are surviving, and then Tyler Myers takes a penalty. Interesting play from the Sharks here to not give the puck to the Canucks. They had all the pressure, though. And they mentioned on the broadcast, like, well, why wouldn't you just give the Canucks the puck, make it a 6-on-4, because you already have the goalie pulled anyways. I didn't hate the idea of trying to keep scoring on the 6-on-5 because you have all the momentum. You have tired guys out there for the Canucks. Don't let them get the change. But they can't score. 6-on-4 for about 1 minute. JT Miller almost scores about 5 seconds left, puts on the outside of the net. Luke Shen with the buzzer beater. I'm assuming they called it, what, 1959? What did they put that at? 1959. I threw it at 20. Technically a shorthanded goal for Luke Shen, and the Canucks win 4-2. I think that's 3 in a row for the Canucks, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't been doing these, so I lose track. Technically 4 points behind Vegas right now. What is that? 6 points behind Nashville, 4 points behind Dallas, 6 points behind LA. Only 9 games to go, though. Keep that in mind. Pluses for this game. Honestly, the penalty kill. They do allow a goal. What was it total? 4 for 5 on the kill, so 80%. which doesn't seem that great until you realize that this team, remember, they're like 77% for the whole year, 72 or something like that. And they got a lot of chances against the Sharks. The Sharks come in to this game with the most shorthanded goals allowed against. Technically, that Luke Shen goal brings that total up to 10 on the year. And I can see why. The Canucks had quite a few excellent chances while on the penalty kill that could have easily gone in. Thatcher Demko was great. I think it's his 30th win of the season, which is awesome. A few excellent saves on his part. That one Jason Gregor breakaway. Is that his name? Jason Gregor? Noah Gregor. Noah Gregor on the breakaway. Demko made a good save on him. Alex Chiasson is playing really good hockey right now, which I didn't have that on my bingo card for the year. I mean, do they bring Chiasson back? I mean, he's been playing really good the last couple of weeks. He gets a goal. His 10th of the year, gets into double digits. I don't know, how many points does he have this year? He's up to 17 points on the year. He'll be a 20-point guy by the end of the season. I guess that's not bad for a fourth liner, although he is getting power play time all year. Will Lockwood, I thought, was good. I liked his feistiness. He was getting in some shoving matches, got in a scrap, held his own. So good on Will Lockwood. But the obvious guy who just stood out in this game, it's Vasily Podkolzin. Vasily Podkolzin is playing excellent hockey right now. He is super confident. He's on power play too, and he's just creating chances. He is playing very, very good hockey. And you can tell because he played 16:44. That's top five of forwards for the Canucks. The only people who played more, JT Miller, Alex Chiasson, Elias Pettersson, and Bo Horvat were the only forwards to have more ice time tonight than Vasily Podkolzin. He played really, really well. Plus one, three shots, one block, like nothing too crazy on the score sheet, but I've really liked what we've been seeing from him. And if that confidence continues to grow through the offseason into next year, he's going to be a staple on that second power play unit, and he's going to be a really, really solid piece for this team. My last plus is it was just a fun game. Lots of shots. Like I said, 75 shots. Things were flowing, or 76. One got added just now. Lots of shots. Lots of fun. Fun hockey game for a Saturday night. Minus-wise, 37 shots against. That's a bit of a negative. The power play is the big one, though. Canucks go 0 for 7 on the power play. They were 4 for 5 in their last two games. Their power play has been the hottest in the NHL for the last 2 months. And you knew right when they showed that graphic at the start of the game on the Canucks' first power play, they said, wow, look at the Canucks, like 30-something percent over the last 2 months, the best in the league. You knew they weren't scoring one all night. They get 7 opportunities. One of those was like 9 seconds after a 4-on-4. But still, they just can't get anything going on the power play, but it didn't hurt them, didn't kill them. It made the game a little interesting, but it didn't kill them. Canucks get a crucial 2 points. Even if they do end up being meaningless, they are crucial for the time being. Game pucks, I guess I'll give a game puck out. I'm giving it to Podkolzin. Shout out to Garland, as my honorary mention, for getting on the score sheet once again. And I'll give the game puck to Bonino for the Sharks. He almost scored late, put it off the post. Made it a little bit interesting late there. Let's get to your questions. Let's see if I have this set up right. Let's see if I can pull up the old comment machine. I don't think it's going to work at first. It did work at first. Wow, look at that. All right. Marcus saying Chiasson has been on an absolute heater. Yeah, it's weird, eh? I think Agam, I see you in here, I think. I saw you respond to one of my tweets saying that I have to delete some tweets because I said that the Chiasson redemption arc continues. I've said some negative things about Alex Chiasson in the past. And guess what? They were warranted when I said them. But no, he is actually playing some really good hockey. Can't fault him for it at this point. It's just a good thing, right? Good for him. Victoria saying, I know that he's the captain, but can Bo Horvat start getting the credit that he deserves? Yeah, Horvat's a very streaky player. He had a couple good chances tonight. He had that one sort of pseudo breakaway where he sort of like bursted through, kind of got held a little bit, then drew a holding penalty right after. Horvat's been always a little bit streaky. But for him having not played that great at the beginning of the season to still have scored 30 goals this year, I mean, we'll take that, right? That's pretty good for Bo. You know, all the talk about how JT Miller is our true captain and all this stuff. And now it's Bo Horvat. He has been playing also very, very well. Jaskaran saying power play 0-for-6. That's so pathetic. What's your thoughts? Nope. They went 0-for-7, Jaskaran. They went 0-for-7. It is pathetic. And it wasn't like they were getting a lot of great chances. Power play 2 was more impactful tonight, I think, than power play 1. But again, I think it's fine. I don't think it's a huge negative that that they struggled because it didn't cost them the game. But yeah, you get 7 chances, I guess 6 real chances. You got to capitalize on one. Because if you're going to get 6 power plays, odds are the other team's going to get a lot of power plays as well. They got 5. So your penalty kill is going to have to be excellent if your power play's not clicking. Gomer loved Myers clearing the crease. I didn't mention that, but I should have. Myers was already getting a penalty, and he knew it. So with 45 seconds or a minute left, just running a guy over in the crease after the whistle is so sick, because odds are you're not going to get a penalty for it because you already have one coming. They're never going to give you 2, right? Unless it's egregious. So basically a freebie sends a message. It was a great hit. It was clean. It was a good hit. Loved it. James says that Chason's really growing on me. Fair enough. Pulling some nice goals. Yeah, it is weird to see Chason producing. Clifford, great to see the Canucks win. And Garland scored. Awesome. 19-game scoreless drought. Yep, it was 20 games ago that he scored previously. Apparently, it was the 7-1 game against Calgary, which was like a month and a half ago, I guess, right? When was that game? Canucks Flames 7-1, February 24th. Yeah, a month and a half ago. About 6 weeks, which is, it's a crazy long time for a player to go without scoring. I think Garland's been playing okay. He's had some really off games, and some really good games, and just the puck doesn't seem to work for him sometimes. Alex saying that the hit by Burrows was a little sketchy. I agree. They talked about it on the broadcast at the intermission, and they were like, well, it's technically not late because 0.68 seconds instead of 0.8 seconds. Sure. I don't think it was late. It was a little high. Yes, the player kind of ducked into it and turned away from it, but I mean, it's still a dangerous hit. I can see why it wasn't called. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was called. It's kind of on the borderline for me. Good that, was it Merkley? It's good that Merkley came back. That's the only real thing I'll take away from that. Reaction Club saying we could have had a blowout victory if we didn't go 0-for-7 on the power play. Very, very true. Marcus saying, Parker, just admit you love Chason. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I don't love Chason. I think he's on a bit of a heater right now. And if they brought him back, if they brought him back next year for $900,000, again, a contract that you can bury completely, there's no risk to it. Sure, whatever, do it. I don't care. But yeah, he's been good. Flaming Storm saying, I never felt threatened that game. 0-for-7, but the power play was an 0-for-7 bad. I think that's fair. If they had gone 0-for-4 playing the same way, we wouldn't have been too concerned. But the fact that it was 0-for-7 makes it look a lot worse. It did feel a little, here's the thing. You say you never felt threatened that game. I kind of felt the same way, which is weird because the Canucks led for 5 minutes in the first and they led for 14 minutes in the second. And then they led the entire third, but they were tied after 1, tied after 2. This game could have easily gone San Jose's way in the third period, but it never felt like it was going to. And it was weird. I had the same sort of vibe, which we'll take, but I can't really explain why that is. It was just vibes, I guess. Let's see here. Jaskaran saying we're a lot closer to the Kings than I thought. Let's see if we can do a miraculous comeback and crush their dreams. It's a hard road. I mean, so the Canucks have 9 games left. Keep in mind, they're probably going to have to win 7 or 8 of them to make it, right? Because if you look at the standings, they're going to have to pass Vegas and LA if they want to get in through the division, or Vegas and Nashville and Dallas. So your easiest path is probably Vegas and LA. Vegas, keep in mind, crushed the Coyotes tonight. They play Vancouver on Tuesday. They play Calgary Edmonton. So those are three tougher games. They do have a game against the Devils still to play. They have one against the Sharks. They have one against the Blackhawks. So the Golden Knights have a decently difficult schedule. Keep in mind the Canucks blew them out 3 days ago, 5-1. The Kings, though, I think the Kings have an easier schedule, right? They have the Wild, which will be a little tough tomorrow afternoon. They have the Blackhawks, which should be easy. They have two games against the Ducks. They have a game against the Kraken. They have a game against the Blackhawks. The Kings are probably going to win 5 games out of their 9, maybe 6. If they win 6, the Canucks would have to win every game. They'd have to win all 9. If they win 5, the Canucks would have to win 8. So let's say the Canucks have to win 8 of the next 9 games to make the playoffs, right? I think that's fair. So Vegas is tough. Minnesota is tough. Calgary is tough. Edmonton is tough. Keep in mind they have 2 back-to-backs in this stretch as well. It's going to be almost impossible. But hey, we can ride the wave, right? Lincoln was at the game, saw Clay. Nice, that's fun. I didn't know Clay was going to this one. I am a little jealous. Let's see here. Scout saying that the team has played better when Brock Besser was not in the lineup. Chiasson fits in Brock Besser's position perfectly. Brock Besser is a lot better than Alex Chiasson. Chiasson is playing well. I don't think there's much correlation between Besser being out and the team performing well. But hey, we can go with that narrative if we want to. I don't think that's it. By the way, Money Puck has the Canucks at a 0.1% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. So we do have some dreaming to do. Let's see here. Agam says that Pod Colson is going to be unreal next season. His confidence is growing so much. He is going to be really good. He's got what? He's got 19 points coming into this game. Didn't get a point tonight. So 19 points in 70 games. Finished the season, what, 25 points? 24 points? 23 points? Doesn't seem that good, but the way he's been playing, he's been very, very solid lately. Just needs to get more chances. Needs to get some more shots on net. He doesn't shoot a lot. He gets like 1 shot per game. If he can get those numbers up, get more chances, he could be a real threat. Fangirl saying, who do you think gets the belt tonight? I think Chiasson got it recently. I bet they go Garland for scoring his first goal in a while. They might go Demko for getting his 30th win. But I would say I'm going to put my money on Garland. Would be my bet. Jaskrin, how long is the stream tonight? Probably 30, 35 minutes. Same as normal. Agam saying, Park, I'm telling you now, Gary gave me the script. We're making the playoffs. I'll take it. So I should go put all of my money on the Canucks. I'd probably get pretty good odds if I did that. I could probably get like 8-1. Hey, if you said it, should be getting 20-1, but hey. Lieb saying that the Canucks have been scoring pretty early recently. That is true. It has been good. Every period in this game, which is great. The Canucks have been slow starters this year. Their first periods have been bad. The last couple of games, they haven't been as bad. And so things have been working out okay. They're just not playing from... They didn't play from behind at all tonight. And that makes the life a lot easier. Agam saying, Rathbone's over a point per game in the AHL. What more does he have to do to get an NHL game? I was at the Abbotsford game last night. Rathbone looked fantastic. He is clearly the best player on the ice for Abbotsford. The problem is he can only get called up on an emergency basis. Because the Canucks don't have any call-ups left, I don't think. And so I think he's fine playing in the AHL. He's going to get playoff games soon. I think they've got like 8 games left or something like that. So he'll get playoff games, which is great. And that's the most important thing. I'm not too worried about him getting time sort of in the closeout of the season, especially the Canucks have just won 3 in a row. They're not changing the lineup at all, you know? Kai saying, great win. Loving Petey's game the last couple of months, but I'm still noticing him falling a bit this season. I think that's fair. I don't think it's a weight issue, but wonder if it's going to be more of a habit. I'm very similar. I fall a lot. And it's not that I don't think it's about being a bad skater either. I think he just goes down kind of easily. Part of it might be trying to draw some penalties. Part of it might just be fully committing to plays and then getting like bumped unexpectedly. It's something he can fix. I'm not too concerned about it because it's not really hindering his game all that much. And the way he's playing, I mean, I have no concerns. Elias Pettersson's been very, very good lately. Horace is not a Canucks fan, but does Boudreaux stay after the season? I think he should. I don't know if he will. Again, new GM, maybe not the exact style that they want, since he's a little bit more, you know, sort of less serious, a little more fun. We don't know what this GM group is looking for, right? That's not a vibe that they have had in the past, right? Jim Rutherford, at least, has always had more sort of your standard NHL coach who is, like, you know, harder on people and less fun and less offensively focused. The Canucks' current style is very free-flowing, right? The defense has not gotten any better since they replaced Green with Boudreaux. The offense has. They've gotten more scoring. They've gotten more chances offensively. And some teams don't like to play that way. I think it's a way that this team kind of has to play, but they might think it's not a successful formula once you get to the playoffs, which is where Boudreaux's teams have struggled in the past. And they might be thinking, you know, let's get someone who, when we do get to the playoffs, will give us a real chance. Even though, in my mind, well, if you can't get there, then what does that matter, right? I think they should. I don't know if they will. I'd say it's probably like 70-30 that he comes back at this point. What else do we got? Trevor, should we keep Ulrich Larsson on power play one or put Hughes back there? Yeah, so they put they started with OEL, and then about halfway through the second power play, they switched Hughes on, and they didn't change anyone else, and then Patan came on. It was kind of a slow change. And then Hughes was back on PP1 for a bit, then OEL is back on PP1 for a bit. I like Hughes back there a little bit more just because he's more agile on the line. I think if you're against an aggressive team on the penalty kill, a team that comes out to you and tries to disrupt your play, Quinn Hughes is perfect for that because he can make moves. Quinn Hughes also makes more mistakes, though. There's one really bad pass where he gave Couture a breakaway, I think. So it's real give and take. I think Hughes they're probably about the same at getting the puck through. They're probably the same at passing. I think Hughes is just a little bit better for those more aggressive style forechecks from the penalty kill. But again, it's kind of nitpicky. I just think Hughes is going to be your guy in the future, so it's fine to run with him now or whatever you want to do. I don't know. Katie, are you going to watch the Abbey Canucks in the playoffs? Probably go to a game or two. Friend of mine has season tickets out there, so I go every once in a while. I think I've been to two games this year. Let's see here. What else do we got? Flaming Storm saying, I'm seeing my first ever Canucks game against the Kings after being a fan for 10 years living in Ontario. That is exciting. Asking if I will be there. I don't know. If I go to a game, I buy the tickets the day of, if they're fairly cheap. I know I don't plan it out that far in advance. So maybe. Let's see here. Andrew saying, the Las Vegas game is huge now. The outside chance of reeling in LA is keeping this interesting. And it is an outside chance. You are right there. Amazing what happens when you turn up in the first periods. Yeah, that has been the key on this stretch. They've scored goals before the second period, and they have not been behind the eight ball. This team has been great at coming back in third periods. You know what's better than coming back in third periods? Being in the lead for the entire third period or not trailing in the third period. It's way easier to win hockey games. Yeah, I agree. Marjorie, will the Canucks re-sign Brock? Your thoughts? I think they will. Probably mid to long term. I'm thinking 4 to 6 years, somewhere in there. Because they can bring that price down a little bit. You know, try to go $6 million a year or something like that if you can. I think Brock brings a lot of value to the team. Sure, his shot isn't maybe what it used to be, but I think he's still a guy who will score 25 goals a year if he's healthy, and he's a very smart player, and I think he's a good guy to have on the ice. Jaskrant saying that Lockwood had a great game other than getting a penalty. He was fast. Yeah, that Lockwood, I mean, I've been singing Lockwood's praises since training camp. He's a fast, engaged player. He's very fun to watch. Let's see here. Sam saying, what's your opinion on Myers icing the puck twice in a row before the game ended? It's interesting. The first one, I was fine with. He almost scored. And if you hit it, the game's over. The second one, he made no effort of hitting the net. He just fired it down. which I also think is fine. If you have been stuck out there for like a minute in your own zone, your legs are dead, you are exhausted, that is when the other team is most likely to strike. If you have, if your only option, if you can't safely flip it out to center, if your only option is to ice it or tie it up against the boards and hope you win a battle, guess what? You're not winning a battle when you're that tired. You're not winning a puck battle. You're going to lose it to the other team. They're going to keep pressing. So if you ice the puck, there's at least a small break. You can take your time getting to the faceoff circle. You can milk it a little bit. You get about 15 seconds of break, maybe 20 if you're lucky. You can also take a timeout in that time as well, right? So I think I'm totally okay with icing it when you're back's against the wall late. Because if you do hit the net, the game's over. And otherwise, I mean, otherwise you have a chance to win a faceoff when you get the puck, and then you can flip it out and get a change. And the third option is that they win the faceoff after the icing and you're still in the same situation you were in before. So I'm totally okay with it. Austin saying, what are your thoughts on the playoff chances? I look at what the models say. The money puck gets the Canucks up to four. They were at 4.7% at 8 p.m. Eastern time because Dallas lost today. Pretty bad. Dallas's odds dropped about 8%. After this game, that'll probably bring the Canucks odds up to maybe 6%, maybe 8%, something in there. Let's see what this says if I go to the actual game. 6.17% is where the Canucks odds are per money puck right now. And that's where I would place them. I trust these more than me just looking at the standings and guessing. Because they use math, which is better than my guesses. So very slim, but hey, we can enjoy it while we can, right? Some people were nervous. That's fair. I wasn't. I wasn't. It was weird. Maybe it's because I don't care as much lately. Kai's also really liking the puck holes and Horvat duo, both big bodies that skate and are responsible defensively and can provide offense. I love Garland. He doesn't really have chemistry with anyone. Yeah, puck holes and Horvat work well together. I mean, yeah, and the fact that puck holes was out there with 3 minutes left defending a lead is awesome. Yeah, it's been good. Let's see here. What else do we got? Marcus saying, do you think Rathbo makes an appearance next year? Only if there's an injury. Wu next season, maybe. I don't know if Wu's an NHLer. He's going to be close, but I think he's going to be sort of a tweener. But maybe. Maybe. What else do we have? Gus saying, your thoughts on Patan being on the PP? He was struggling a little bit, double clutching on a few shots, but I don't mind it too much. He scored a bunch of goals in the AHL, right? Nick Patan. He scored 12 goals in the AHL. I guess that's not a ton, but yeah, he's fine. He's fine. What else do we got? Let me just see here. The Butt Pod. I think that's literally Brent Butt. Welcome, Brent. Good to have you here. Maybe OEL or Hughes on PP1 should be decided by what team's style you're up against. That's sort of what I agree with. I think the aggressive in your face guys, you probably want Hughes out there because he can be agile. He can make some moves. Yeah, I like it. And then you put OEL out there when it's a bit more of a stale penalty kill. You can pass the puck around. He's a little bit better at getting pucks through. I think it's pretty fair. Agam saying, if we make the playoffs, do you think Brock, Niels, Pearson, and Pullman return? Whoever's healthy, right? Whoever's healthy, they come back. I don't know the status on anyone. I've kind of forgotten. I know Brock. I think Brock's supposed to be back kind of soon, isn't he? And Hoglander's out for week to week. Yeah, I think that's all gravy, right? But again, I don't think they're making the playoffs. But hey, that would be nice. Scout with a $2 super chat, thank you very much, saying go Canucks. Sure, I agree. Scout also saying, I feel like we're similar to the Blue Jays from last year, have an amazing run the second half of the season. Hopefully we get a different result, though. I don't follow baseball, but that sounds right. Justin saying, this win makes Tuesday's game huge. I think they're all huge, right? Yeah, it's against Vegas, too. That's crucial. That is crucial. Clifford, we have no chance really, but it's fun to hope, right? Everyone wants the luck of the 2019 St. Louis Blues. Yeah. The thing is, yeah, the Blues were an anomaly, and I hate the when everyone was like, oh, they can just get into the playoff spot and go on a run from January 1st. That doesn't happen often, right? The Blues were there's a reason that they're the only example that people come up with, because it doesn't happen very often. You can look at the Kings in 2012, but that was, you know, they were also an excellent team that made some big additions at the deadline. And they came up against the Canucks who were just done. That core was done. But hey, it would be nice. It would be fun to just get in and play some fun hockey games. Jaskrin saying Lamico's looks so invisible since Mott. Oh man, I can't speak today. Lamico is looking invisible since Mott has gotten traded and Hymore getting hurt. I feel bad for him. Yeah. I mean, Mott was the lifeblood of that line, losing him. And then with Hymore being out, Lamico's kind of stuck there. You know, you have no chemistry with any of these guys. It is tough. But he's been so good all year that I don't think you can blame him too much. It is unfortunate because it might impact his contract status, right, going into next year. But I think he's been a really solid piece, and hopefully he can find some chemistry elsewhere. Brent saying that Pod's getting better every game, growing into a strong NHLer before our very eyes. He really is. You look back at the beginning of the season, even 2-3 months ago, getting 7 minutes a night, really not being trusted, just going out there, always playing his heart out, right? And that's why it's so easy to cheer for this kid. But as he gets better and better every game, and yeah, I mean, tonight, what did he play? What did I say he played? 16 minutes, 17 minutes, something like that. 16:44, 4.5 minutes of power play time. Again, 7 power plays, makes sense. But he's not a liability out there. He's the hardest worker on the ice, and he really is creating chances, which is absolutely awesome to see. Smooth reporting in saying that Chiasson got the belt. I thought Chiasson got the belt like 2 weeks ago. I'm surprised they'd go back to him already, but he played a good game. Chiasson has been really, really good the last little while. I would say I hate to say it, but I don't. I am happy that Chiasson is blossoming at the ripe age of 31, or however. How old is Chiasson? He is 31. I'm Wikipedia up here. But yeah, he deserved it. He played good. I would have maybe given it to Garland, or Podkolzin even, but he played really well. Fangirl, which game is more important, Vegas or Edmonton at the end of the month? Vegas is the team that you're wanting to pass, so that one obviously, but they probably have to win both, and they probably have to win almost every game here on out. So I would say they're both 100% must win. All right, let's see what else we got. Kai, and this might be the last one I take, saying, I love Dermott's game. It's simple, doesn't get pushed. Mobile is decent defensively. He's never going to be a superstar, but he's able to provide good minutes on the bottom pairing for $1.5 million. That's big. Yeah, those two trades on their own, the Dermott for a third. All right, sure. You get a good piece for a third round pick. That's great. And third round picks don't have a ton of inherent value. But with that Hamonic trade the same day, basically trading Dermott for Hamonic and maybe a couple of slots in the pick order at the same time, whatever. My goodness, what an upgrade. He is such a better skater. That's the one thing that you immediately see. Hamonic was quite immobile, quite slow, not able to do a bunch, right? But the fact that Dermott's more mobile, he's, you know, working into a new system, new D partner, and he's been absolutely fine. I think he's a really solid piece to just have, as if you can end up with him on your third pairing, I think that is excellent. He's probably fine on your second pairing for now. I love it. He's been absolutely solid. Not standing out really in any way, but he's been good. All right. I think we're going to wrap up there here on this Saturday night. Thank you guys for joining me. Good to be back. We'll keep this going. Maybe we'll see. We'll see. I might be going to the game on Tuesday, so if that's the case, we'll be a little iffy on it, but it might be a late one. I'm going to go get some sleep. I hope you guys had a good night. Canucks with a big win. And hey, they just got to win all the rest of their games, and we'll have some playoff hockey to talk about. Have a good night, and I'll see you next time.